The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears! Go Bears!
There we go, Coach.
There we go.
You know,
and we're back.
You win four in a row, we figure out how to do technology again.
Well, again, like, you know, YouTube, Hydra. I mean, so many good things going on here. You know, obviously, the winning streak, but the fact that we got the music back.
Yeah. Well, you know what I did this time differently?
Couldn't hold you down forever.
I didn't do anything. I just tried it again, and it worked.
It worked.
So, no clue. But welcome into the Two-Man Game Podcast presented by Renaissance Insurance. Ryan Hicks is a monster Bears fan.
Yep.
And I know he's pumped seeing what you guys have done the last couple of weekends.
Just like, you know, getting the song back on the podcast, you know, it's like you can't hold the Bears down forever, right?
No.
Got to resurge.
Well, and I every time I watch this team, and I sound like a broken record, but during the rough patch, I looked at this team and I just said, this is too good. This is too good of a team, too good of coaches to have a 1-7 start in the Big Sky. And sometimes it just goes like it is basketball. And you could be playing 90% of a great game and you could have 10% where things just go wrong. Yeah. And that can be, or 5%.
Oh,
and that can be the difference in a game sometimes.
Well, I mean, for people that really fall in the Big Sky, like it's so, every game is so close. I mean, it's really weird. And now we're up to 14 one-possession games on the year, which, again, that takes usually about three seasons to get to 14 of those things. But I think that's the reality of our league. And, yeah, you're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad, too. And, you know, you get to 1-7, and, man, it felt bad. I mean, it looked bad. I mean, it was 1-7. That's what the record said. But it happened so quick. I mean, it just spiraled. But, you know, giving our guys credit that, you know, we all stayed the course. And, I mean, we're still trying to climb a lot of rings of this ladder, obviously.
Yeah.
But we're right back in the mix. And I told the guys yesterday, you know, we're a half game back of fifth place, and we're one game back of fourth place. And 2 weeks ago, we were in 10th place. And so we still got a lot of work to do, and there's not a ton of time left. There's 3 weeks left. There's six games left. But we got a great opportunity coming up, just one game at a time, and just control what you can control and keep it moving.
Yeah, I want to get into the standings with you, too.
Sure.
And then, obviously, we can kind of break into the last couple of games. But when you look at it, with how things have kind of unfolded here, obviously, I know priorities shift. That's how seasons go, priorities shift. And the number one priority for you guys right now is get out of the bottom four.
That's right.
And obviously, things could change as we go as far as your expectations. But there are, what are there, 1, 2, 3, 4 other teams with 6 losses right now that are right above you guys. One of those teams coming to Greeley on Thursday night against Sac State.
Sac State, I mean, going to the standings first, it's when we got to 1-7, and it's like, okay, the first 10 games, we were 9-1. The second 10 games, we were 2-8. And it was like, okay, this is, you know, again, when we tried to flush that second season away, and we're in this third season, and small, you know, baby step goals, you know, let's just get back to being a winning program. A winning program with 11 games to go means 6-5. So let's get to 6-5. And we felt like, hey, if you get to 6-5 in this last 11 games, 7-11, you're 7-11 in the league, you're probably floating around that sixth seed maybe. So let's find a way to get back to becoming a winning program, and let's see if we can't get up to that sixth seed. Again, at the time, you're 10th place, you're 1-7, massive mountain to climb. You can only do it one game at a time. But in this, you know, third season, we're trying to get 6, we're 4-1. The goal is 6-5. And again, we're just a game at a time and see where it goes. But now we are back in that mix. And yeah, like, we control a lot of it. You know, Sacramento State comes in, they're a half game ahead of us. You know, if we can beat them, we would jump them, obviously. You know, now they would be like 5-7, we'd be 6-7. And then you go to Portland State, you know, coming in on Saturday, and you know, that's going to be a great opportunity as well. But you just take it one game at a time. So all focus right now is on Sac State. And it is. It's a huge game because it's something that's right ahead of us that we can change our lot in life and their lot in life by winning that game on Thursday.
Coach, can you give me a refresher, too, just so we have that information of, like, the tiebreaker? Because we know the tiebreaker to win it is interesting. But the tiebreaker as far as standings go, because if you beat Sac State, you guys will have the same amount of losses at that point. Just obviously you'd have more wins.
Yeah, we've played more games than them.
How that goes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously just head-to-head, first of all. And that's where,
okay,
like, if you lose to Sac State and they've swept you, they will win a tiebreaker. Us sweeping Idaho State, we would win that tiebreaker. So every team you play, if you get swept, it is extremely problematic when you get down to it. Now, after that, I believe it goes up to your record against the next best common opponent.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
So it's okay, who beat the 1 seed? Who beat the 2 seed? Who beat the 3 seed? And so it really just goes into head-to-head, and then it goes into that, you know, descending order of, okay, did anyone beat the 1 seed? Did anyone beat the 2 seed? And so on and so forth.
Okay. Well, and we'll be kind of, you know, as we get down to the last week or so, we'll really be diving in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm guessing, Coach, this is so tight. This tournament is going to be maybe one of the best ever when you look at this thing.
Volatile, for sure. Yeah. It's going to be volatile. And it just goes back to it, like, okay, if you can get the 1 or 2 seed, I don't know. I don't think the 1 seed's mathematically possible. And who knows? I mean, the 2 seed, who knows? But if you get the 1 or 2 seed, you have a slight advantage in the sense of you're going to play the winner of the 7, 8, the 9, and the 10 games. That can be a disadvantage, too, because those teams have been there longer than you. They've won games. The 1 and 2 seed's great, but it's not great. Obviously, what we don't want to be is 7, 8, 9, 10. The reason why is that 7, 8, 9, 10, they have to play a fourth game. They have to play a kind of a playing game. So 7 plays 8, the way our league does it, which is a little bit weird to me. I feel like if you're the 7 seed, you should play the 10 seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But 7 plays 8 and 9 plays 10, so the 7 and 8 just hate it. 9 and 10, you know, you're the 10 seed. You don't have to play, you got to play 9. But anyways, 7, 8, 9, 10, the winners of those games play the 1 and 2, so you do not want to have that extra game if you can at all avoid it. So that goes back to our goal of let's just get somewhere in the 6 or better range. Then that middle ground, 3 through 6, it's all the same. 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. There's no other, you know, buys. It's all the same. So to get to 6, you've basically got to 3 in the sense of your path to win a championship. Get to 6 is the goal.
Yeah, well, and now we're going to be, I mean, every single night, it's
big, man.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And it starts for you guys. Restarts for you guys on Thursday night at home. You get the next 3 games are going to be here in Greeley.
3 in a row at home.
Great opportunity.
4 of our final 6.
And I want to talk to you about that clunky schedule to finish the season, too, because we're back to a Monday thing there. So we'll get into that side of it. But first things first, you guys got to go to Weber State, take on a team that did beat you guys before in a close game. Like most of those losses in the conference have been close games. But in this one, you guys were just, I mean, obviously Quinn Danker was great, but Yamazaki was, exceptional, man.
Yeah. I mean, obviously team effort, but in terms of, you know, production and things like that, you know, Quinn was awesome. Ibu really played well. I mean, it's a version of Ibu that we've seen before, and you'd love to have it every game. That's not realistic, but it's like this guy, when he's really playing well, shooting well, you know, doing different things, like he can really help us production-wise. We got to find ways to get more scoring. You look at Ibu at 23 in that game, but then going backwards one game to Eastern Washington at home, Ring Neary had 23.
Yep.
So, like, we got to have enough guys that can get production scoring-wise where it doesn't just have to be like, well, we need Quinn and Brock to score and Zach's got to hit 6 threes. And the more we can share the wealth on that and guys stepping up and producing, the harder we are to guard. So it was great to see Ibu do that. Tremendous win. I mean, that's not an easy place to win at. And they were playing well. And, you know, I think to go in there and I can't remember what we were up at half, but we were up substantially, and we stretched it out. I mean, I think we led the whole 40.
Yeah.
Very, very encouraging for sure.
Well, and what you're starting to see here, and I love that you mentioned that too, because we've talked a lot about Ring Neary on this show and kind of where, you know, he's jumped around between
so his good
startings, coming off the bench, reworking how his minutes are. It seems like the last handful of games, he is really coming into his own, not just as an offensive player, but as a defensive player, an overall hustler, too.
He's just, you know, his motor's always burning, man, and he's just one of my favorite guys to coach because he brings juice and energy. And even when we didn't start, that was so much more like, you know, that trip at Montana, the second game where he didn't play much, they basically weren't guarding him. And he's shooting it well now, but it's like that was more so on me really in the sense of saying we got to find ways to get him around the rim. And now, like, you know, posting up actions. Let's say we're posting Quinn Danker. Well, most of the time we're going to get him around the rim on that opposite block and space Brock out. Now what it does is it puts their big in a bind. Are they going to help off Brock or not? Because Brock's shooting well. And then Ring, just with his quick twitch and his athletic ability around the rim, he can just quickly finish or dunk or whatever it is. And you look at the end of the Weber State game, they went to a 1-3-1 with about 2 minutes left. We hadn't seen that 1-3-1 from them in like 2 years, but we were up. It's okay. We didn't have any plays called for it. Moving around, he floated around the rim, and Danker got him on a lob. We got to get him on some of those. And then they said, okay, go back to the man. We got the ball to Brock. Brock's posting up, and Ring's guy doubled, and Brock had an unbelievable pass, and Ring dunked back-to-back dunks for him. We've got to get him around the rim because he's such a weapon around the rim. It's like Langston last year. And so when he doesn't have the ball, how do we find ways to intentionally get him in a spot where he can just catch and finish it? And, you know, then against Idaho State, they went to the zone and we had that lob play to him. And so we've been much more intentional to find ways to get him around the rim. And really, like, he's shooting it well on the perimeter. He's driving better. He's playing at an extremely high level. But I mean, his progression growth, I mean, it's been a huge thing for our team, and he's done a great job of it.
So there's probably a mixture of, like, I was getting ready to ask, like, what has been the change we've seen in Ring Neary? And you're saying, hey, we're trying to design more opportunities for him. But before you guys kind of get to that, I'm guessing in your mind, players got to show a little bit of those glimpses where you say, okay, next time we're in the lab, we're going to make that a focus to really make him a focal point of this team.
Yeah, we just got exposed against Montana going all the way back to it in the sense like they played way off of him, and it was the first team that really did that. And we're like, oh, man. Hmm. And we didn't have a great plan for that yet. So, again, that's on us. We didn't have our guys on the right spots. But then you look at it, and it's like, okay, we were in a timeout. No, we were halftime. He grabbed me. I had to say, hey, coach, like, sometimes he's in the left corners, the three. And they're really, you know, high up in the gaps, which is totally fine. He's like, you want me to keep missiling? I'm like, yes, because he got all these missiles, which are just like, you know, dives into the rim. But then, so when we cut the film afterwards, and we showed the film yesterday to the guys, we showed where they're playing high in the gaps. He saw it, and he's like, hey, what do you want me to do? Then I showed him a clip of Dalton, first play against New Mexico several years ago. Now, Dalton, obviously, they're going to guard him, but they were high up in the gaps on all the ball screens, tagging guys, right? So first played a game with Matt Johnson and Theo. We had this ball screen, and we just played into it where Theo came to set a ball screen. Dalton's guy was going to over-tag, and Theo didn't roll, and we had this lob play for Dalton. We're like, we can figure this stuff out. When you guys see stuff on the court, just keep – all you guys, tell us what you're seeing because we can figure it out. So, yeah, we're still growing and modifying and adapting, trying to figure it out. But he's a great example of that we have found different ways to unlock, you know, what he's doing. But, two, like – how fast he is in transition. Sometimes he wins the race and not our post player. And like Vince had that, you know, that pass to Ring when it was 62-56, I think it was, or 52-46. We got to stop. And Ring just outran everybody. And Vince found him on that first post for a layup to get it up to 8. We're finding ways to, again, how do we get easy? We want easy buckets. You know, a level of difficulty is not like a badge of honor. Get the easy stuff you can, and then when it's time to do the tough stuff, you got to do it too. But now he's done a great job of that.
How important, obviously, like to this season, his progression is great. But next year too. I mean, you look at, you're going to be losing some key factors on this team with Quinn, with Zach, and with Brock. Do you look at Ring and say, not only is he going to be a big factor the rest of the way and through the Big Sky Conference tournament, but he's a guy potentially we can really build around next season.
If we can hold on to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's always like, the thing now, right?
I mean, he would be just a massive focal point of what we're doing, and he's really emerged into, in so many ways, offensively, defensively, analytics, winning. It's just checking boxes. And the thing that's so cool about it is he's still young. So, like, he's only going to be a true junior next year. He's a true sophomore right now. He's starting to really figure things out. And, you know, hopefully we can hold on to him and continue to attack, just building strength and weight and those little things that that are key for him. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, if we can hold on to him, he would be a huge part of what we do.
Yeah, well, and I've loved seeing his progression so far.
Oh, it's so fun, man.
So you win 88-74 over Weber State. Then you turn it around on the next following Saturday, and you win in kind of a different way. You win 69-61 against Idaho State. Defensively, you guys were sharp. And we talked a little bit last week about that difference from Thursday and Saturday, sometimes just being able to, whether it's legs, whether it's time, whatever, juice. Mentally. But it seems like in this four-game win streak, you're starting to unlock that combination.
Yeah, I mean, you look at another great game on Thursday, right? Now, the game against Idaho State, first of all, it's a lower possession game. They're one of the slowest-paced teams in the country, so you're not getting that game in the 80s or 90s because they play so slow. You can't. You just got to embrace what they do. But then we have been very intentional in talking to our guys about it, too. You know, you look at those three seniors, Zach, Brock, Quinn, that play crazy minutes. Ring Neary plays crazy minutes, right? Ring's playing 32, 35 minutes a game if he doesn't get in foul trouble. How do we continue to play well on Saturdays? It's not an effort thing. It's not a – but it's just, like, the legs. And so, like, you look at it, we feel like we've prepped the right way for Thursday games, then analyzing what are we doing from Thursday after the game immediately until Saturday when the ball tips off in less than 48 hours. What are we doing? Are we doing the right stuff? And we're continually looking at it. I think we took a step in the right direction. I think the Friday was a late night Friday practice, so just, you know, for the people listening and stuff. So get done Thursday. And we had some of our top supporters, donors, came to the Thursday game with us. Flew out on some planes and stuff. President Feinstein was there. It was awesome, man. And so had some administrators there. And so we had 35 people on this list. Nice, it was big, man. And so they're there cheering. So game gets done, right? It was a late game, 7 o'clock games. Like the difference between a 6 o'clock and a 7 o'clock start, to me at least, is monumental. 7 o'clock, oh man. Get back to the hotel at 9, got the box of Raising Cane's, so I'm just smashing that Cane's with sauce real quick. And went out and celebrated with our people that supported us for a little bit that night. Come back, start chopping film, but our guys, they're shut down. So they're shut down. They're Normatex, ice baths, whatever it is, in the hotel just trying to figure it out. And we let them sleep in. We did not leave the hotel till about noon on Friday. Let them sleep in as long as we could. Had breakfast, good vibes, the whole thing. Practice wasn't until 7 o'clock in Pocatello. 7. So no reason to get up at 8 a.m. like sleep, man, sleep, recovery. And I know our guys appreciate that. Drove the 2 hours up there. On the bus, so there's no flights, just, you know, from Ogden to Pocatello. Just drive up the road. Good weather, no issues there. Start prepping with the scout coach, and it's a scramble mode in terms of trying to get ready to go. But, 7 o'clock was our practice. It was Friday night, and we played at 4 o'clock. That's less than 24 hours. You got to be careful now. So nothing live, but, 75% in terms of scout preparation. Cut as much out as we could. You know, cut some post-perimeter stuff out, some skill stuff out. Just keep the main thing, 60, 70 minutes on the court with a lot of prep stuff. Now, here's the question. What do you do Saturday? Because our window is 9 to 10 a.m., so it's 7 o'clock at night. Now, do we even go over there? Do we not? What do we do? If it's a 1 o'clock game, we don't go over there. But if it's 7 o'clock, we do. It's at 4. It's in the middle of the night. So what we did was went over there 9 to 10, so we didn't leave the hotel till 9:15 because – sometimes we got to save our guys from our guys. Show up 9:20, okay? Shots, no scout preparation there. Shots, some on their own. If you want to sit down and just shoot some free throws, whatever it was, 5 minutes of post-perimeter, some free throws, some shots. Coaches beat the players at half-court shots yet again. I mean, we beat these dudes every day. It's getting bad. behind the scenes, Coach Klobe is still at 10. He's winning.
Never misses, man.
Myself and D.C., Coach Campbell are at 8. We're chasing him. It's something like 16-7-3. We're just dominating these guys. It's embarrassing. But anyways, so we did that. Then we got back to the hotel. In our meeting room, we did a quick little walkthrough, defense, attack, defense, and did what we did. But we're trying to save legs. And I think it helped. I thought our guys played really, really hard against Idaho State. We're still not shooting it great on Saturdays. So trying to figure out, what's the best way, again, to just really cook on a Saturday. And it's just that all these Saturday games are hard for both teams. But we're trying to figure that out.
Isn't that something, though, at this stage with, now 4 in a row, as a basketball coach, when you look at it and say, we can win when we're lighting it up. But also when the shooting's not there, at this stage, we're starting to see our defense, our intensity, a bunch of other little things – are taking over, allowing us to win when maybe that shot's just not falling as easily as it was the night before, or two nights before.
Yeah, four games in a row we've held the opponent under 42%.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 37% inside Idaho State. I mean, and that's the thing is that, you know, we're, you know, metrics and analytics, our offense is still through the charts. It doesn't necessarily feel like that all the time watching it, you know, play out, but it's like we're, I think, 34th in the country in effective field goal percentage. But it's our defense that's really stepped up. And we've done a few things schematically to kind of cool the engines down, really on the idea of like, hey, we got to get our guys out of so many rotations and the load and this and that. And it's had a good positive, you know, effect. And if, for the people who watch Idaho State too, you know, our ball screen coverage was what we've been doing the last four games. And it works when you have enough, you know, we call it air support, people in the gaps. But the problem with Idaho State, the reason they're hard to guard is they can post you up. They got a good guard in Garrett, and when he comes off, Gus Etchinson, he plays pretty, crazy, but he's talented. And they have all these dang shooters everywhere. Well, so you got to make a decision. If you're going to put air support out there and rotate around to help the ball screens, you're going to give up some threes, or you're going to limit the threes and turn into a little bit more of a two-on-two game into ball screens. And it started to crack, you know, early second half. And we went back to our more aggressive coverage. And I'll give our guys all the credit in the world. When we went back to the aggressive coverage, we did not anticipate doing that. And we told them we don't want to do it, but be ready for it. And they hit it out of the park. When we flipped that game and that coverage, it was because we flipped the coverage. The guys did it right. We got like five stops in a row. And it flipped. We were down five. And, you know, 43-38. And it flipped. And it was awesome to see our guys be able to do it.
Well, now four in a row. Obviously, you have your eyes on the prize. You know what's next. You know what you have to do. You know about the standings, everything. But is there a part where you can take a moment and feel some relief? Because when you're 1-7, you're like, I think we even talked about, human nature steps in and you're like, are we going to win again? Are we good? I mean, we think we're good, but the losses are kind of starting to stack up.
It's amazing. The 1-7, and you got a great Idaho team coming in. I'm like, these dudes are really, like, this, we could play great and not win this game.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Game. And then, you know, the Ewash game, I mean, we played well, but couldn't make a shot. It was just ugly. But, and give them credit, we got wide open shots. We just couldn't make a shot. So, yeah, you're 1-7, and human nature does kick in. And it's a great reminder, too, that, yeah, there's a little relief, but, man, the losses are so painful, and the wins are probably, the wins are relief. You know what I mean? They're exciting, but you know, you win that game at Idaho State, which it's so hard to win in these road games, and you win it. You just swept the road weekend. It's a little relief, but it's immediately, okay, all right, now we're back in the mix. Hey, now Sac State. I mean, my mind's already just consumed with Sac State, but it's really exciting and it's really fun to be like, hey, man, we're literally one game out of fourth place with six to go. And I love what we're doing, how we're playing. I put us in those odds to see what happens here. But 2 weeks ago, we're 1-7, mm-hmm. And it is. And you know, I'm sure we take it harder than anybody else. But it's like it was brutal, just mentally. You know, you got to fight that demon. You got to fight that fight. You got to, you know, there's so many things. And you know, my pastor checked on him. He's a good friend of mine, Tim Troxell. Shout out to Timmy at Generations. And he's checking on me. He's always about more than wins and losses. And I'm like, hey, it is hard, man. And he's like, well, just remember, it's hard to have any growth when you're comfortable.
Hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Whether you're religious or not, like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's like when you're comfortable, when you're, you know, in 19 wins to 25 wins to 10-3 to the best start to beat CU.
Oh, it's been a...
not like we've taken our foot off the pedal, but like everything's going well. And then when it flips, the next thing you know, 2 weeks later, you're 1-7. You're not comfortable. And yeah, just, you know, as a human being, you got to find a way to have some growth. It's a great reminder.
It has been a roller coaster of a season. I know that sounds cliche to say that, but.
Oh, this is the year. Yeah.
you have that. You do what you did against CU, which hasn't happened since what?
Century.
A long time.
Call it 100 years.
You get your 100th win. And I know we've talked about that, but it's still a thing. You have a smoking hot non-con schedule.
Yep.
Quinn Danker goes down, comes back way before a lot of us thought, and then you start the Big Sky Conference play kind of rough, and now you're on a four-game win streak.
Well, go back to that conference. So how was the non-con schedule? I mean, Texas Tech could win a national championship.
And that was a close game.
But then how about this? Only one team is beating Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference, Portland.
Yeah.
We beat that team at Portland, same place where they beat Gonzaga. Fullerton, they're in the top four or five of the Big West, which at the time they were not projected to do that. Like, that's it, and being a good one. South Dakota's now fourth in the Summit League. St. Thomas could very easily win the Summit. They're second place right now. You go on and on and on, right? Omaha, now they've surged up to fifth in the Summit. Like, we had a really good non-con, I think the way we're playing now is the team that was playing earlier on. I feel like we're playing really well.
Yeah, I do too. This Sac State game is interesting, Coach.
It's a grinder.
You guys were running the show for a while there.
We were 18 and 9 minutes ago. That's
the one
worst loss of the year.
Keeps you up at night, right?
Worst loss, not because of the opponents, they're good, but worst loss because we're up 18 and 9 to go. You don't lose that game unless everything goes wrong and it all went wrong and turnovers and, you know, untimely this, that, whatever. But the blessing of, you know, like college football, you don't get a chance to play that team again when you screw it all up. The blessing of college basketball, at least in the league plays, you get, you know, the home and home. So we get a chance. They're good. You know, what a talented team. And the deal was when we played them before, Mikey Williams did not play that game. And so when Mikey Williams didn't play early, like, or when he was playing earlier on, they really struggled. They lost a ton of games. He didn't play that week, and they beat NAU. They beat us. That was the emergence of Prophet Johnson. So Prof Johnson was, again, the mid-major national player of the week.
Yeah, he just crushed
all these
couldn't
guys.
Couldn't miss, yeah.
And then I'll give them credit, you know, Coach Bibby and their whole team. When Mikey came back, he didn't take a backseat, but he absorbed himself back in the team. So what was happening before is literally he was taking 25, 30 shots a game. And these other guys like Prophet Johnson weren't touching the ball much. Now, when he came back, they kind of unlocked, okay, Prophet's good, Summers is good, Lavrinov. And so now when Mikey came back, now it's not just a one-headed monster. It's like a two-headed monster with all these good pieces around him, and they've played really well. I mean, they crushed Montana, beat Montana State, crushed Weber State. I was like, man, these guys are good. Mm-hmm. They're playing really well. And so I'm excited for the challenge. I'm excited for the opportunity to play them again. Their guard play is as good of a backcourt as any you'll see in the league. Explosive. All the intrigue of Sacramento State. You know, Shaq is their GM. His kid's on the team. Mike Bibby's their coach. And then Mikey Williams, you know, former number one player in the country, in the world, I guess if you want to call it that. This is a very exciting team. And I think people are excited to see him here. It's going to be rocking Thursday night. We got Greek night. So the sororities and the fraternities, they're going to be there now. And it's going to be popping, man. It's going to be a really fun atmosphere. And I think there will be a lot of casual fans that follow the Sacramento State thing. And now that they've played really well and they're playing better now, it should be an electric atmosphere.
You've coached against and coaches and players, great coaches, great
sure.
players, guys that have gone on to do big things. You've had guys on your team that have gone on to do big things. Is it interesting with Mike Bibby? Because Mike Bibby's like a guy I grew up. Like, I'm not a young kid when he's playing, but I watched a lot of his basketball games. There's kind of a fame thing around a guy like Mike Bibby.
Yeah, like, I don't really know him on a personal level.
How was he after, like, handshake after the game
great.
And stuff?
No, he's,
cool.
He's really laid back. I mean, you know, the back in the day when I was a junior college coach, he was a head high school coach at Shadow Mountain High School in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And we dabbled with some of their players, so, like, I know him a little bit, but I don't really know him like that. But no, I mean, they've just given credit because early on in the season, when they were really, really, really struggling, they're much more, in my opinion, much more solid now, much more dangerous now, many more options now. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, you know, it's playing those guys and you know, people say, well, is Shaq going to be at the game? Who knows? Probably
Yeah, we've
not.
Had a lot of people calling to win
no
the
idea.
Tickets.
Yeah.
The tickets are already gone. They went crazy. But yeah, Shaq might be there.
And he might. Like, his kids are starting power forward.
Yeah.
Like, he might. Who knows? But it's a little bit of a there's some entertainment value for sure. And I think it's great for the excitement of the league and this game coming up.
It's a monster game for the standings. We're seeing this a lot around the country, though, where teams are hiring guys that had a big name at the pro level or whatever.
Sure.
And maybe they didn't have a ton of college experience, but they're really just hoping the namesake is what can help them drive NIL dollars, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But in your mind, you're looking at it and going, no, there's a lot of substance there with Mike Bibby.
I give him a lot of credit. They've done a good job going into our first game. Like, there was so much preparation of, like, at that point, literally, like, the usage rate. And it's just it was Mikey Williams. It was, like, number one usage player in the country. Shots, you know, and then everyone else couldn't really even tell. And then he had back spasms, so he sat out that weekend. And they have other really good players. And obviously, Prophet Johnson is really good. But no one saw it. And now, when Mikey came back, give him credit. Like, I kept looking at his next box scores, and his shots were – his minutes were – he played 38, 39 minutes. Shots were way down. But, like, him and Prophet together, it's like, oh, okay, now they got – and they're both guards, and they're dynamic. They're hard to guard. They're going to hit really, really, really hard shots.
Mm-hmm.
They're explosive. So, yeah, they're going to put you in binds. But, yeah, they've done a great job of kind of – because at one point in time, they had, like, one Division I win, and it was January, right? And now they've done a good job flipping this thing around.
Yeah, they've rounded it out. So it should be setting up for a monster game on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the big whale, the team that's kind of the favorite right now in the Big Sky, at least at this point, and what they're doing is Portland State. And that's another team. You guys were right there them. That was another incredible game. Every game but maybe one in the losing situation, every game came down to the wire.
I mean, you know, we had them down 10, you know, led for the majority of that game, had the shot to beat them. You know, we had the free throws to tie it and the shot to win it, and the ball just didn't go in. And so, yeah, I mean, they're really good. But the reason they're whatever their record is Idaho State had them down 9 with 2 minutes to go. They
just don't quit?
They just came back and made some plays, and then, you know, Terry Miller hit a 3 to get it to overtime to beat them overtime. Weber State had them down, like, I don't know, 3 with 20 seconds left. It was over. And they came back and won. Sac State missed the layup at the buzzer this last game. Point being, every game is so close right now. Like, they have won more close games than other teams, and that's why they're you know, I think 10-1 or whatever it is. And full disclosure, I picked them to win it. But we're all, in my opinion, we're all right there. Mm-hmm. And even like when I saw Jace, you know, early in the year, and he had Jace Coburn, their head coach, and they were like 4-0 or 1-3 or something like that. And we've got to be pretty good friends. I really like him. He does a good job. And I was like, hey, man, you guys are rolling. He's like, dude, we're all literally like one breath away from just exactly what's going on. You guys could happen to us. Like, it's all the same. So, and they're extremely reliant on their top three guys. Terry Miller, in my opinion, will be the player of the year in the league.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But there's, you know, there's starting to be his teams, it's fun watching team scout teams and prep teams. They're starting to be cheat codes of how to, you know, attack this guy and guard this guy and this guy. And so there's starting to be things that are like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. And we're all thieves, right? We all steal the best ideas if they make sense. So, yeah, you know, you look at that game and we're just focused on Sac State. But for them, you know, they're in Flagstaff Thursday night. And knowing, because we've already been through that travel, you probably stay in Flagstaff Thursday night. You'll probably drive down a mountain 2+ hours to Phoenix. You can probably sit in an airport. You're going to fly from Phoenix to Denver. You got to drive up to Greeley. You're going to play them at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. It's hard. Really hard travel. Yeah. And so, like, yeah, like, you know, it's going to be a great game for sure.
You talked about Terry Miller a bit. Do you look at it and say Quinn Danker's close to that in your mind?
Well, the only reason I wouldn't put Quinn there now is because of our record. It has nothing to do with Quinn. It's the same reason, like, I thought Dalton got robbed the year that he led the league in scoring and was not a first-team all-league guy. That was – but at the same point in time, you looked at it, like, well, this is crazy. I can't remember all the guys, but one guy was Dylan Jones. Yeah, was he a first-round draft pick? I can't remember, but
– yeah, I think he was, yeah.
Cedric Coward.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the rookie of the year in the NBA this year. So, like, there was great players in the league, and we didn't win. And now we're surging. But, like, right now it's like, you know, with Quinn, it's like you're not – if our lot in life ended up that we were 6th place, 5th place, 7th place, 8th place, whatever, you're not going to get the player of the year if you're 8th place. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Has he had a tremendous season? Absolutely. But I think the majority of the time the coaches look at it and say, all right, who's winning this thing? Right now, Portland State's got a 2 or 3 game lead on everybody. And, you know, some people could say, well, is it Terry Miller? Is it Jalen Henderson, their guard? But now, right now, I think it's Terry Miller. But again, that could change. There's still 3 weeks left. But right now, I'd say that's what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun finish, Coach, for so many different reasons. Yeah. A lot of the side quests, too, if you are paying attention to Player of the Year and all that. But, man, it's been fun. 4 in a row for you guys. Looking forward to what should be a great atmosphere and environment on Thursday night, man.
Pack the bank. We need you.
Yeah.
We need a great crowd, great atmosphere. We've been floating the last couple home games around like 1,800 people, which is great. Can we get it over 2,000? Can we get that thing over 2,000? our arena is small enough. It doesn't even hold 3,000. So if you can get to 2,000, that thing is rock and rolling. We need it. It's going to be a really fun game Thursday night. And then Saturday as well. So Thursday night, Greek night. Saturday's alumni night. So alums are coming back. We're doing all kinds of little things for them and really excited about that too. But get out to the bank. There's only four games left at home this year, and these are two big ones.
It's flying by. Go to uncbears.com. Check out how you can get tickets for the remainder of the schedule, because
yes,
it's winding down rapidly.
It is.
At
it
this
is.
Point.
It's called the stretch run.
Coach, love it, man. Love watching this team. So much fun to follow, and we'll be rooting for you on Thursday.
Let's do it. Appreciate you.
All right. Game podcast. You can find it at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
The Two-Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game, so how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!